The stack of papers on my desk has finally shrunk to a single sheet, and that sheet is the one I've been dreading. The OVIR registration confirmation. I know, not the most glamorous start to a podcast episode, but stay with me. This is the stuff that actually makes or breaks a long stay, and today, in the 40-degree heat of a Tashkent August, I'm gonna wrestle it to the ground. Assalamu alaikum from my rented flat in the Yunusobad district, where the air conditioning is my only true friend and the paperwork is my reluctant adversary. Here's the thing about registering in Uzbekistan in 2026. It's not the bureaucratic monster it used to be. The old propiska, the residence permit that haunted expats for decades, was abolished last year. Now it's notification-based, but the trick is knowing where to go and what to bring. My hotel for the first night automatically registered me through the Ememin system, but for a long-term rental, I need to do it myself. My landlord, a wonderfully pragmatic man named Bakhtir, told me not to worry. He said, "Timur, just go to the public service center with your passport and your rental contract, and it's done." I'm holding him to that. So I take the metro from Yunusobad station, one of the newer ones on the line that runs north, and it's a cool, marble-lined escape from the heat. A single ride on the Tashkent card is about 1,700 som, or roughly 15 cents. I've loaded my card with 10 rides for 12,000 som, which feels almost like stealing. The carriages are quiet, everyone checking their phones, and I'm reminded that this is Central Asia's oldest metro, opened in 1977, a Soviet showpiece that still feels futuristic in its own way. I get off at Kalanzer, and the station itself is a vaulted hall of white stone and abstract patterns, a piece of art you pass through twice a day. The public service center is a modern, glassy building, and it's surprisingly efficient. I take a number, wait about 20 minutes, and then a young woman with a calm smile checks my passport, scans my rental contract, and types for a few minutes. She asks for my landlord's phone number, which I provide, and then she prints out a slip of paper and hands it to me. That's it. The whole thing takes maybe 30 minutes, and I'm officially registered to live in Uzbekistan for the next year. I walk out into the heat with a ridiculous grin on my face. I'm not just a tourist anymore. To celebrate, I do what any sensible resident would do at 11 in the morning in August. I find a choy kona. Now, a choy kona is a tea house, but it's so much more than that. It's the living room of the city, the place where men, and increasingly women, too, gather to drink green tea, play chess, and solve the problems of the world. I find one that's essentially a wooden platform under a grapevine trellis, shaded and cool, with a few low tables. I order a pot of green tea and a naan, the flat, round bread that comes fresh from the tandoor oven. The tea costs about 5,000 som, and the naan maybe 3,000. It's the cheapest luxury in Tashkent. I sit there for an hour, watching the rhythm of the street. A man on a bicycle delivers melons, balancing three of them on the handlebars. An older woman in a colorful atlas dress sweeps the pavement in front of her house with exaggerated care. A group of teenagers on scooters race each other down the street, laughing. This is the Tashkent I came for, the one that exists in the spaces between the monumental Soviet architecture and the gleaming new business district. It's a city of neighborhoods, of mahallas, as they're called, and each one has its own pulse. But I can't sit in the shade all day. I have a mission to find the right bank for my account. I've been told that Capital Bank is popular with expats because their app is decent, and there's a head office in the center. I take a bus, the modern ones that run along the main avenues, and pay with my Tashkent card again. The bus is air-conditioned, which is a blessing, and it's a good way to see the city's grand boulevards, lined with plane trees and those distinctive, graying Soviet apartment blocks. I get off at Amir Timur Square, where the equestrian statue of the great conqueror glints in the sun, and find the bank just off the square. Opening an account is straightforward but does require patience. You need your passport, your new registration slip, and a tax ID number, which I got from the same public service center in about 5 minutes. The bank manager, a sharp woman named Medina, walks me through the process. We have two systems, Humo and Uskirt, she explains, tapping her keyboard. Both work everywhere, but you'll want to link your card to the Humo system for most ATMs. I nod, not fully understanding, but trusting her. She sets me up with a debit card and shows me the app, which is surprisingly slick. There's no fee for the account as long as I keep a small balance. I feel a small surge of pride as I leave with a shiny new card in my wallet. The paperwork is done. The bank is sorted. I am, officially, a temporary resident of Tashkent. It's a strange, satisfying feeling. I wander back toward the metro, but I'm not ready to go home. The heat has peaked, and the city has that hazy, sun-drenched quality that makes time move slowly. I decide to check out the new Tashkent City District, the Glass Tower Business Center that's the symbol of the country's post-2017 opening. It's a strange contrast to the old city, like stepping into a different continent. But it's alive with cafes and young people taking selfies in front of the fountains. For lunch, I stop at a place I noticed earlier, Boboi Shevchenko. It's a casual spot, and the shashlik, skewers of grilled meat, is the main attraction. I order a plate of lamb shashlik with a fresh salad and a cold beer. The total comes to about 60,000 som, which is around $5. The meat is smoky, charred, and perfectly salted. The beer is cold, and the beer garden is shaded by a massive oak tree. A group of men at the next table are arguing good-naturedly about a football match, and I catch the word Palavan and laugh. Football, like tea, is a language of its own. I spend the afternoon dozing through the siesta, the only sensible response to August in Tashkent. The city effectively closes from 1 to 5, and to fight it is to suffer. My flat has blackout curtains, and I've learned to love the whir of the air conditioner. By 5, the sun is lower, and the streets come back to life. I take a walk to the Minor Mosque, the beautiful white marble building beside the river, and find a quiet spot on the grass. I watch the light shift across its facade, and I feel, for the first time, a sense of belonging. I'm not just a traveler passing through anymore. In the evening, I meet a friend of a friend, a journalist named Aziz, who's agreed to show me a more local side of the city. He takes me to Besh Kozan Palaf Center, the famous open-air pavilion near the TV tower. You can't leave Tashkent without eating our plov, he says, and he's right. The place is bustling with families and groups of friends, all sharing giant platters of the national dish. A single bowl costs about 30,000 som, and it's a mountain of rice, carrots, and tender chunks of beef. We eat, we talk, and he shares stories of the city's transformation since independence. As we finish our tea, Aziz leans back and looks at me. So, what's next? He asks. I tell him about my plan to head south in the autumn, to follow the old Silk Road through Samarkand, Bukhara, and Khiva, to see the madrasas and the minarets that I've only read about. He smiles. Good, he says. You should see the Rajasthan at sunset. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. I can hear the pride in his voice, and I believe him. Samarkand is waiting, but not yet. For now, I'm here, in this city of heat and history, and I'm learning its rhythms one day at a time. I take the metro back home, the evening crowd a blend of tired workers and young couples heading out for the night. The lights of the stations flicker past, each one a unique Soviet-era masterpiece. I get off at Unisobad and walk the last block to my flat. The air has finally cooled to something bearable, and the stars are beginning to appear above the city. I've been here 4 days, and it already feels like longer in the best way. Tomorrow, I'll explore a few more neighborhoods, drink more tea, and maybe find a gym. But tonight, I'm content with what I've done. The paperwork is done, the bank card is in my pocket, and I have a new friend. Tashkent is no longer just a place I'm visiting. It's becoming a place I live. So, if you're thinking of doing what I'm doing, here's my advice. Embrace the heat, sort your paperwork early, and never underestimate the power of a good Choi Kona. This city has a way of getting under your skin if you let it. I'll be here for a few more days, and then the road will call. But for now, good night from Tashkent. Until next time, keep exploring.